I know that in your bulletin it says Scripture, Psalm 13. But I changed my mind. I'd like to preach from Genesis 12, 1 through 9. If that's okay with your permission. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. So much gospel in Genesis. Just love it. So foundational for missions, for discipleship, for growing in the faith. And but this here, my theme mainly is basically this. Life begins with God's call. True life begins with God's call. And we're going to see, well, that's our first point. Life begins with the Lord's call. Second point will be believing and obeying that call. And the third point, continuing in that call. So it begins, and then believing and obeying that call, and then it continues with that call. And I trust we'll see that division also in chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Let's hear God's word together. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his own tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Yes, living with God. And that's really what life in the covenant is all about, living in relationship with God. In our families, in our church, in our day-to-day work, that's true life. It really is. It's being with God, living with God. And of course we know from Psalm 73, the opposite's also true. To live apart from God is death. Sometimes people ask me, what's death? Well, that's what death is. Ultimately, that's what death is living apart from God. We live in a city of death. People live apart from God. It's by grace that we live with God. That's life. You know what? The Bible not only tells us how God establishes a relationship with us, he does so in Jesus. But notice his name in Genesis 12, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He's a true and living God who ultimately reveals himself in Jesus. And the Bible gives us practical examples of what it means to live with God in our everyday lives. And one such example is Abram. Abram is one example of what it means to live in relationship with God. As we see with Abram, relationship with God begins with a call. Not with his decision, but with the Lord's call in his life. A sovereign call. And that brings us to our first point in verses 1, 2, and 3. Life begins with the Lord's call. You notice that the Lord himself is the one who comes to Abraham. Abraham doesn't choose God. He doesn't decide for God, not first of all. God comes to Abram. The Lord comes to him. And he addresses Abram. The beautiful thing here is Abram, the idolater, according to Joshua chapter 24. And the Lord knows him. He addresses him by name, Abram. Why the Lord calls Abram? We don't know. Why not somebody else? Why Abram? Abram was no saint. He was far, so far away from God. He didn't come from a God-fearing home. He came from an idol-worshipping home. I'll just read those words from Joshua 24. And there you know, Joshua is talking to the people of Israel. And he shows them, he tells them where their original father came from, Abram. He says, your father, including Terah, the father of Abram, the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Yet the Lord calls Abram. Abram, you're mine. Abram, you belong to me. Abram is God's choice. Because he's such a nice guy? Because he's such a good guy? Because he deserves it? None of the above. Abram is God's choice. God chooses him to live with him. To live in a relationship with him. And that springs from his gracious, loving choice. But there's something else here. That life, which begins with the Lord's call, that life, that call involves exchanging one kind of life for another. A radical change. Notice what the Lord says to Abram. Get out of your country. From your family. From your father's house. And go to a land that I will show you. He doesn't even tell him which land it is. What that land is. But he says, I will show you. Doesn't this remind you of Jesus calling the fishermen to leave their nets and follow him? Leave. Go. Of course, ultimately that means, you know, our heart is no longer overtaken by the things of the world, but overtaken by the Lord Jesus Christ. See it happening here. And God says to Abram, when you do leave, he says, I will do three things for you. I will make you a great nation. Yeah, sure. Sarah's barren. You read chapter 11. But that's what the Lord says. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, number two. And number three, I will make your name great. The Lord will do these three things for one purpose. In order that you may be a blessing. And by making you a blessing on earth, I will do three more things. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Very interesting. Abram's relationship with the world is defined by his relationship to the Lord. Those who bless him will be blessed. Those who curse him will be cursed. He's the measuring stick. The Lord is. His relationship is defined by his relationship to Jesus. You know, God calls him into covenant. But not so that the covenant can have an end in itself with his own children. But it's so that the nations may know. That's the purpose of the covenant. That's the goal of the covenant. Is so that it can be a channel, right? His family can be a blessing and a channel to the nations around them. That in turn, that they too may come to know the Lord and worship him. The Lord has a grand plan, a grand view with respect to believers and their children, their families. He has the nations in mind. That's the purpose. That's the goal. Not pots, but channels. Channels to the unbelieving world. Then they may come to know. There's a lot to digest in these three verses. We got 9 verses to go through. But really the simple point is this, that through Abram the Lord will build the kingdom. His kingdom. He will build his church on earth. And from Abram's children, and their children, Jesus will come. And ultimately, through Jesus, you see the Lord fulfilling his promises. The world will receive blessing through Jesus. But all this begins with a call. And it's clear what Abram had to give up in order to live with God. What's he supposed to leave? To leave his family, his familiar environment, the wealthy city of Ur, to leave his father Terah and all his family. It's more than just an immigration story. It's about putting or having God first in his life. Abram has to exchange that kind of life he had and exchange it for a life that's totally different, a different kind of life. That other kind of life, that new kind of life, is living with God and for God, living in relationship with him. When you're called to live and walk with God, what does that mean? It's a call to forsake the old life of sin, the old life with its idols, to break with that. Exchanging one life or one kind of life for another means a complete break with the old life. Didn't Jesus say the same thing? He says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Living with God begins with this call. The Lord called Abram to leave his family, his hometown of Ur, a big modern city. He called him to break ties and go to a land he had never seen. Will Abram do this? Think from the perspective of a person in our city who is totally caught in the slavery and bondage of idols. His culture. Think of Abram. Will he do this? There is no possible way he can do this. Will he break all the ties with his family, with his religion, with his gods? Is he able to just let it all go, just like that? Will Abram obey? Forget. Sometimes they say the older you are, the harder it is to convert. He's really old. Well, not really old. 75. He's been well established in his life. He's been rooted in his religion, rooted in his culture. And now? Will Abram obey the Lord's call? By God's grace only. I think we have to sympathize with people who think through that, work through that. We're dealing with a lady right now, ready to receive baptism. But all those questions, what changes with my relationship with my family? What if I have to read something to my mother that's from another book? How do I deal with it? We can only empathize, sympathize. Walk alongside. Try to walk in their shoes. Isn't that what Abram has to go through? But grace, the same grace that changed us, is the grace by which they can also, by which Abraham can also be able to obey the Lord's call in his life. Is he able to say, "Yes, I do"? It's like a marriage commitment. Yes, I forsake all. I say, "I do. Lord, I do." And that leads us to the second point. Verse 4. Yeah, grace. Abram obeys. There you see the fruit of faith. As Abram departed to go to the land of Canaan, yes, that's what happens. He departed. He departs. What does that show? It shows his faith. It shows that he believes. It's not an empty faith, but it's a faith full of content, full of works. A faith that shows itself in works. He departs. He believes God's word, and it really shows in his practical obedience. He does what God says. Hebrews 11, verse 8 also mentions that. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Sometimes that's the way it is. Many times. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next year. But in a certain sense, we go by faith, not knowing what's going to happen specifically in our lives. We know from the promises that God gives us, and that's when we trust. Abram saw that. Did Abram give up a lot? What do you think? What do you think, boys and girls? Did Abram give up a lot? I mean, all that stuff he had, and the town that he grew up in, and all his gods, the times he could have with his siblings. Did he give up a lot? When people come to Jesus, do they give up a lot, really? We may think so. How painful it must have been for Abram to say goodbye. And we think of the courage of his faith to break ties with his gods. But when you know life, when you know life with the true and living God, when you come to know Jesus and your life in him, you come to realize, as those who come to faith in Jesus today, really you haven't lost anything. That's grace. They haven't lost anything because they've gained everything. That's what they see. Abram didn't really lose anything. Living in darkness, is there any loss in that? When you let that go, when that leaves, when the light breaks in, there's no loss at all. What did Abram gain? Everything. A life with God. Is that your life? Yeah. A life with God. Is he your everything? Are you willing to forsake everything for him, for his sake? You know, for Abram, the future was full of light, full of rich promise in Jesus. A life where God would be with him. A life where God promised he would protect him, though he knew not where he was going. But he trusted God. One person puts it this way: you can't lose when the word of God calls you. Simply obey and go. And there's only gain. The Lord Jesus saw Simon Peter and Andrew casting their nets into the sea. And he says, follow me. He sees Matthew the tax collector. He says, follow me. He leaves his nets. He believes. He obeys. Believing and obeying frees us. That's what it does. It frees us from all our slavery to the idols. Whether it be one of these, what do you call them? Phones, iPhones. People are so addicted to them. Pornography, lying, stealing, greed, malice, evil speaking. Wow. Believing and obeying frees us from that. Slavery. It's so freeing. Abram saw that. It's freeing. It was gain. Through faith in Jesus, too, God brings us into a life of freedom. Life of blessing, of joy, of peace. You know, everyone answers God's call. Everybody does. But not necessarily with a yes. People also answer God's call with a no. As I would often say to our people, Hope Center, we say, if you're wise, you'll quickly want to break ties with the old life rather than linger with regret. Remember Lot's wife? She turned back. What happened to her? She became a statue of salt. Well, think about the rich man. He just could not pull his heart and his love for his money and wealth, and he just couldn't part with that. He didn't say yes. By not saying yes, he said no to Jesus' call. He went away a slave. So sad, so miserable, so unfreeing. He went out without life, death, death, without Jesus, without blessing. Abram, he believed. But that doesn't mean that there are no obstacles, though, to his faith. A rough, rough road lies ahead. And that's true for the Christian life, too. Christians face tests. It's no rose garden. It's tough. But they live by faith, seeing the promises, motivated to live for their God, living in the light and the joy of the promises of God. And therefore, in that light, we also meet trials and struggles. You know that. True, the Lord sends tests of faith. But will we continue in those tests of faith to trust and obey the Lord, to have Him first and foremost in our lives? You see a few hints of tensions in Abram's life in verses 4, 5, and 6. A few tensions. Verse 4. How old is Abram? 75. What's the Lord calling him at this age for? We're ready to retire at that age. Actually, 10 years earlier. It's a big change for him to break from this past. Verse 5. If you look at verse 5, it says there, "Then Abram took Sarah's wife and Lot and his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people with whom they acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan." So they came to the land of Canaan. God promised Abram that children would come from him. Where's the evidence? Abram takes Sarah, his wife, his nephew Lot, his servants. But what about the children? No children. Sarah's barren. What good is God's promise if there's no children? What good is God's promise of a land if he has no children? You think Abram might be having doubts? Did Abram do the right thing by leaving? You know people like that. People who've turned to Christ and all kinds of troubles come into their life and they begin to ponder and says, maybe the gods are angry at me. Maybe I did the wrong thing. That's what my friends are telling me. I'm not saying that Abram went through that. He left. But still, he might be having doubts. Verse 6, another tension. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. The Canaanites, the land was hopping with them. Unbelievers everywhere, with idol-worshipping peoples. And then you read about the terebinth tree of Morah. That was a Canaanite shrine, a religious shrine to the sun god. You really think that it's so small, such a small entourage that left the land to go to the land of Canaan. You really think his faith is going to survive in this environment? There's pagans all around him. Shouldn't he leave and go somewhere else where he can protect his family? Would his faith survive? What about his children? Will God keep his promises about the land? Will Abram continue to trust the Lord? Or will he begin to have doubts and waver? Will he be tempted to return? Will he continue to obey God's word? Will he continue in the faith? I mention all these questions. I think often we go through those kinds of struggles. Is it all so real? How come it's so hard? How will he receive the strength to continue? And that really brings us to our last point. You know where he finds the strength to continue? By going from altar to altar. I think you see the word altar mentioned two times in verses 7, 8, and 9. Let's look at that. 6, 7, 8, and 9. Or 7, 8, and 9, sorry. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" See, the Lord speaking to him again. through his word. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So he traverses the whole land of Canaan from north to south. Of course, Ur is north of that. But he just travels through as a sojourner. He makes his journey through the land. That's what he does. Hundreds of miles are covered. Many events in Abram's life we just don't know about. It's not recorded for us in Scripture. None of his life ventures are mentioned in verses 1 through 9. What's mentioned? One thing is mentioned in these verses, and that's the altar. That's the altar. The altar is mentioned two times, once in verse 7, once in verse 8. So what was the thing called the altar? Well, it was usually made of stones, built up a little bit, and on there, Abram would sacrifice an animal, a lamb or sheep, sacrifice to the Lord. It was a place. It was a place where he would put his altar. And on the altar, yes, he would sacrifice a lamb. And by this, he would show his trust in the coming of the promised one, the Lord Jesus, who would be our ultimate sacrifice, who would offer his finished work on the cross. And yes, through the altar, through the shedding of blood of Christ that's pictured in the animal, you see God forgiving his servant Abraham and renewing his relationship again with him again and again and again. Every time at the altar, God renewing his relationship with him. Abram lived from altar to altar. This is how life is lived until the day of unbroken fellowship with God in heaven. Yeah, that's the question. How then do we measure our lives? A lot of people measure their life by the kind of house they live in, the kind of job they have, the kind of money they earn. Nothing wrong with that. But many people measure their life by that standard. They compete for status. But you know, life with God is measured by one thing. Living from altar to altar. That is, from Sunday to Sunday. That would be the words we would say today. Living from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. That's not to diminish work. But no, we work because of the rest the Lord has received and the encouragement we receive from the Lord. And therefore we're able to work and serve him again. But from Sunday to Sunday, the Lord nourishes our faith. He strengthens our faith. He renews us on our way again on the journey of faith. Continuing in his call, in the middle of all life's struggles and all of life's challenges, from altar to altar, is the focus of a life that begins with God. That's really the focus. Enjoy the Sunday. Always enjoy it. It's a gift. It's God's gift to you. He wants you recharged. He wants you renewed. He wants you going away again to serve him in the land of the Canaanites. A land hopping with Canaanites. To intermingle with them. To walk among them. But to bear witness to them. You see, continuing in God's call from altar to altar, from Sunday to Sunday, from worship service to worship service, first of all, when we do that, it shows our trust in the Lord. It shows that he is our God. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, it's also a witness. It's a witness to others. First of all, to our children. Yeah. Living from altar to altar, from Sunday to Sunday, is an example to our children, whom we raise and whom we grow in the fear of the Lord. It's a witness to them. Yeah, for mom and dad, this is the most important thing in life. God is. He's the focus. He's the center of my life. And when we leave behind our children when we die, we can say, remember, son, daughter, life begins with God and continues with God. And there's no period to it. It continues and continues when we trust and follow Him. It's about your relationship with God in the midst of all the ambitions and goals on life. So yeah, it's a witness to our children. But don't forget, God has called you into covenant with Him. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end with worship. It's for the sake of the nations, so that they too may come and worship. Covenant is a channel. It opens up God's ways to the nations. Abram believed. He had a vision for the spread of God's kingdom on earth. He wanted altars spread throughout the land. One altar here, one altar there. These were all, you could say, ways of showing that God was also with them. Today, Christ, by His Word and Spirit, is spreading His church throughout the world, bearing witness to Himself. He's reclaiming the world. A new creation has come. The old is passing away. And Satan, no doubt, continues to fight back. That's where the fear comes in, doesn't it? And doubt. You become fearful. There's persecution. I think it was Piper who said the reason why he thinks that so many Muslims haven't been converted because so few people are willing to die for the faith. Maybe some truth to that. God has His people also among Muslims. He does. Praise God. He's bringing them. It's an opportunity for the church to bring the gospel to them. Satan continues to fight. There is persecution, there's bloodshed, there's much injustice, there's suffering and hate at the hands of the Canaanites today too. Although they're not called Canaanites, called something else. Unbelievers. But Jesus, on the other hand, gave His life to give life, to forgive sins, to offer hope to these very people, offering peace, offering love, His joy. Yeah, as Christians, we have a responsibility to bring that call, God's call, to our neighbor across the street, to a fellow co-worker in the workplace. They need to know. You've been called into covenant for the sake of the nations, that they may too worship the Lord. Real life begins with God's call, exchanging your life for a new life. And your confidence in sharing the message of Jesus is there because He has already overcome the Canaanites. He has. They're defeated. There's so much fear sometimes. Sometimes that fear can be crippling. But the Canaanites have been defeated through Christ and His work on the cross and His resurrection. Not yet fulfilled in the sense of the new heaven and new earth have arrived, but they've been defeated. We live amongst a defeated enemy. Life begins with God's call, exchanging one life, one kind of life for another. Maybe sometimes we feel like our life is going nowhere. Feel stuck. You see no other way but to abandon the road of faith. But to abandon the road of faith is to go on the road of darkness. A road that goes to hell. That's a horrible alternative. Stay the course. Stay the course. It leads to a glorious destiny, a new land. God will guide you. He will lead you. Put your hand into His hand. Don't turn back to the old life. That's not the way of faith. And look to faith, look in faith to your Savior. He gives the strength to obey. He gives the strength to do what is right. He gives the strength for us to be faithful. Life begins with His call in Christ. A life with the Lord begins with His call, and it continues with His call until it reaches the promise of a new land, a new heaven, and a new earth. In the meantime, we live our life in the life of that joy from Sunday to Sunday, knowing, as Psalm 73 says, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that's true. Whether it's in our day-to-day work, in our families, in all that we do, may God receive the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that, Lord, by your grace, you called us to be a people. A people that belongs to you, that belongs to Christ. Lord, you have saved us for a purpose, to worship you. But also, Lord, that the nations may be gathered in. Lord, we pray that you would continue to strengthen and encourage us. Lord, we pray that even throughout our city with many churches, that you would enable us to be faithful to that call in our land. We thank you, Father, that we have before us, as we heard today, the example of Abram and also your grace at work in his life. Now that gives us perspective to how we see ourselves as a community of believers, as families, as individuals. So, Lord, we pray that you would lead and guide us, and continue to lead and guide us in your way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.